Okay, Wednesday 9:24:25. How Faith Works, Part 12. The title is Nevertheless at Thy Word. We're going to read the Faith Hall of Famers because we are part of this. I believe it's a continuing chapter. It's not just for those from the Old Covenant, but also those in the New. All right, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Isn't that the goal? Good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Faith pleases God. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he's going to reward faith, but he is not going to reward drawing back. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Every one of these people had obstacles in their way. It wasn't just easy peasy, easy going either. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. How many people do you know that would just pick up lock, stock, and barrel, sell out, do whatever, and just head off? Thinking, well, God will tell us when we get there. That's what Abraham did. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, God is home. We may live in an earthly house, but God is our home. Through faith. Wherever he's going, wherever he is, that's where I want to be. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age. I think 90's past, way past. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, and we're part of his heirs by faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, God country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, that's New Jerusalem. That's where we're all going to end up. That's what we are, the New Jerusalem. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. would have had a cushy life. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, the same to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time had failed to tell me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopping the mouths of lions. There's Daniel, Hebrew children going into the fiery furnace. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So all of these people had a price to pay to walk by faith and to prevail. Okay, we see here the Faith Hall of Famers and how their solutions by faith overcame their obstacles. The Holy Spirit on our journey as the modern day Hall of Famers is teaching us to view the solutions over the obstacles. Now, did you catch that? To view the solutions over the obstacles. I've been on a two-year journey like I have never encountered before, and I have struggled. Yesterday, I heard the Holy Spirit say this to me, "Nevertheless, at thy word." What did he mean? We're going to read that. Luke chapter 5. I dreamed last night. It was just, I woke up about 3:30 or early this morning, and that's all I could think about. I didn't really ever go back to sleep. I got up at 5, but that just rolling over me. Nevertheless, at thy word, what does that mean to me? I'm going to start with verse 1 there. Luke 5:1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they closed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. He let down a net. O ye of little faith. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners. What did Jesus say over here? Jesus said, "Launch out to the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. We found the one. This is the one. Jesus taught them how to walk by faith. To to not be small-minded, not to think a net but nets. Right here, toiled all night to feel fatigue or work hard. This is, I wrote down my thoughts. They toiled all night and caught no fish, and they could tell you of a certain, in a certain area there's no fish. That's what Peter was saying while I let down a net. I've been out there toiling all night. There ain't nothing there. In other words, there's no solution to our toil. Then comes Jesus and he says, let down your nets for a draught. Peter, knowing there aren't any fish, says to Jesus, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Did you notice he said net, not nets? He didn't believe it either. His problem was bigger than the solution that Jesus was offering. We can't criticize Peter because we've all done the very same thing. Short selling God, thinking, well, he's getting old. He may not be able to get around like he used to be. You know what I'm saying? No, God doesn't age. He toiled all night to feel fatigue or to work hard. Don't we work till we are worn out also? Trying to get the answer. Trying to get this off. Trying to do whatever you can. When the Lord tells us to trust Him, do we really do it? I too stumbled over these words that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I've struggled for 2 years and I'm exhausted. The Holy Spirit simply said, follow me out and quit trying or toiling to get yourself out. How? Focus on Him and not the problem that you're struggling with. By doing this, the solution becomes bigger than the problem. Greater is He, John 4:4, 1 John 4:4, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. When the disciples saw what was done, what did they do? They sold out lock, stock, and barrel and followed Him. There ain't no profit in this. We toiled all night and didn't get nothing. Here come Jesus. They probably got more fish in one day than they had all year. Yeah. The solution was better than the problem. They decided to follow Jesus. None more of that toiling. Okay, Matthew 6. I don't know how many times I've read this. Nearly embarrassed to read it again, but we need it every single day. Matthew 6. Starting with 24. No man can serve two masters. We're either going to toil and spin like even the lilies don't toil and spin. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't follow Jesus and always be a toiling. You just can't do it. It does not go together. It doesn't go hand in hand. They're contrary one to another. Who's the one that makes you toil and spin? That's the devil himself. That is his agenda, to keep you so wore out that you can't even do anything. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. There it is right there. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, how they sow not, neither do they reap, they're gathering the birds, but I've never seen one of them out there. And we've got lots of birds having a nervous breakdown because they didn't have a worm. Not one. They don't sit up late at night wondering how in the world they're going to feed their young the next day. God provides. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I don't know how many times the Lord has said to us, I'm not going to let you fall or fail or slip. Do we believe Him? Do we believe Jesus' word like Peter did? A net or nets? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, when you think about when I was reading the Faith Hall of Fame, all of these people were required to do something beyond themselves to attain the goal of faith, the solution. All of them, every one of them, none of them had an easy road. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Fretting and a stewing and a toiling all the time. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, because they don't have a Savior. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He said, I see where you are. I see everything you're experiencing. I know what you're going through. Just like the scenario of the mother hen and her chicks, that's the way the Lord is with us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, believe. When Jesus comes up and says, throw out nets, you best get nets, not just a net. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. We're not supposed to be worried about tomorrow or even take a thought about tomorrow, not anything about tomorrow. This whole world system is nothing but taking care. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. To be in self-care and always trying to fix yourself, trying to find solutions for what you're going through, that's evil. Evil. The Holy Spirit continued to instruct me and to keep my eyes on him and the answer instead of me constantly being distracted by the problem. He said he would lead me out of the problem and into the solution. He also said to not gauge success by symptoms, but by what the Word of God already says about what you're experiencing. Let's keep following Jesus like the disciples did, because he knows the way out, for he is the way. Matthew 11. That's not right. Is that right? Yes, it is. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what? One thought can change your condition. One thought. If you're down, something can come across your mind that's something happy or upbeat, and it just changes your whole outlook. One thought. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The problem becomes smaller, and the answer becomes, or the solution, greater. Okay, go to Luke chapter 8. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Do we think for a minute that the devil's going to win? Can you really actually believe that? He's already defeated. How can he win? This is Luke 8, starting with verse 40 there. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. He had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed by any. This woman is so ragged out. Spent all her living. She's so weak, she has to crawl through the crowd. And came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Someone hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace." And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John. And the father and mother of the maiden and all wept and bewailed her. And he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. He made fun of him. He put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." Her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and she commanded to give her meat. Her parents were astonished. He charged them they should tell no man what was done. The woman with the issue of blood, she kept saying it until it was. "If I just touch him, I shall be made whole." This is rolling over and over in her. She spent all her living, toiled and toiled, and lost all her money, and still was not in very good shape. But she just kept rolling in her mind, "If I just touch him, I'll be made whole." This is how God operates, and this is how we operate. Go to Romans chapter 4. Everything has to do with your mental state. That body will come into line wherever your thinking is. Everybody's focus. We're talking about the Lord speaking to us about body worship. The whole church is steeped in body worship. They don't know. It don't have anything to do with that. It has to do with your mental state. What you think about things. What you speak about things. Okay, 4:16, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Do you expect God is going to accept you toiling and spinning and trying to do it your own way? And you're made in his image and likeness? He can't honor that. "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." He was out of hope at 199 and her 90. I'd say he was kind of hopeless that he'd ever see an heir. But guess what? He did. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." That was not written for his sake alone. That's what it's saying. "That it was imparted to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Acts chapter, it's chapter 28. I was just thinking about the fear and the anguish and stuff that Paul went through on that ship. For 2 weeks, everybody was exhausted. They hadn't eaten, it said, in 14 days. Probably enough just to get by through the day, and they were toiling with that hurricane, and the ship was being tossed, and they were all afraid they was going to die. But an angel stood by Paul that night and said, "Fear not, Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar. And I'm going to give you everyone on board. They'll be okay." Then he got on this island. Verse 1. "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm." He was looking at the solution, not the problem, wasn't he? Okay, one more scripture. 1 Peter 5. Start with verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That's the other words. Casting care is not thinking about your problem. You're thinking about the solution. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may desire." Why? Because he's the one that casts those evil thoughts at you, trying to get you to take them. Don't take a thought saying, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." The Lord has told us that he knows what we are going through, and he will not let us fall. Do we believe him? Do we believe in getting our nets full or just our net? Say this with me. Say this with me. Lord, forgive us for toiling, and carrying care. We are worn out. And now we cast all of it on you. And we will do what the disciples did. Forsake all and follow you.
Okay.